It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the Refreshing.
Sorry about that, Saints. I was on mute, and so I'll have to start all over. Good morning, everyone. We thank you for joining us, and we are on this January 18th, Wednesday, and we are about to begin the worship and wellness broadcast. So apologize, I was on mute, but we're just going to move forward at this time and have our opening prayer by my wife.
Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and to have worship, to open up your word, to be able to receive it, and to be able to be fed spiritually. We pray that you would anoint the words of our pastor by filling him with your words and with your spirit, Lord. Give us what we need today, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ. Yeah, we have a phone call, so the people on Facebook are telling me they can hear
us. It's about time, oh Christian. It's about
it's about time, oh Christ.
Amen. We're all together now, my brothers and sisters, and we are about to go into the altar of incense. We're in Exodus chapter 30. Now, Exodus chapter 30 actually has several verses. It actually has 38 verses, but we will be focusing just on the first two because our topic for worship is prayer is for everyone. Prayer is for everyone. That was taught in the Bible in the altar of incense. Okay, so I'm going to have a word of prayer, and let's go right into the word of God. Father, thank you so much for this day. Bless us as we read the word and understand it and apply it to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers and sisters, there is a phrase in the Bible called four square, you know, and it actually means the same, the length, the width, and the height is the same. And there weren't many things that were four square, but the altar of incense was four square. Let's read about it. And thou shalt make, this is Exodus 30, verse 1, and thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. And very interesting, four square shall it be. And two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. Now, if you know anything about math, you will understand that that's not four square. But the Bible said it was four square, but that's not four square. If the length and the width are the same height, but the height, sorry, if the length and the width are the same length, okay, have equal length, but the height is different, that's not four square, but the Bible said it was four square. And I'm going to tell you why the Bible said it was four square, because the altar of incense represents prayer. And in prayer, it's what, even though we're down here, it brings us up there where he is. And that's so beautiful, friends. God called it four square when it wasn't actually four square. That's so beautiful. We'll prove that in a moment. So it was two cubits length, two cubits breadth, but four cubits high. But the Bible said it's four square because through faith we have prayer that brings us into the presence of God. Okay, so that is the only verses I will mention. Well, you know, I'm going to mention one more. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. So, my brothers and sisters, shittim wood was overlaid with gold was always, shittim wood overlaid with anything was always humanity covered by divinity. Okay, and so the wood actually was the table, and it was overlaid with gold. Some things were overlaid with brass. Brass was a metal that was used in war, and so you'll find things in the outer court, for example, overlaid with brass. It is still divinity covering humanity. It's just that we've got to war, and the outer court represents earth, and so we're at war. The Bible says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. It goes on to say, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Those verses are in Revelation chapter 12, my friends. And so we understand from this that this overlaying with another material of wood, it represents divinity combined with humanity. And is not that the case when we pray? Oh, my brothers and sisters, when you pray, we have an audience with the Savior. When we pray, we have the Holy Spirit taking our prayers, Romans 8:38 says, into groanings that cannot be uttered. It brings us up to God, my friends, and helps to merge divinity with humanity. That's what the plan of redemption is all about. Emmanuel is God with us. You know, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, I believe verse 20, if we then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. No, I'm sorry. That's a different verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Okay? So that's what we have, friends, Christ living in us. That is the plan of redemption. That is the culmination of the plan of redemption. That's why Jesus came to die, because he wanted to be with us, to live with us. God sent his son because he loved us enough that he didn't want to leave us in this dungeon of sin. And we sometimes want to stay in the dungeon of sin, and that's the sad reality. So I want to bring out that this altar of incense or square brings us into the presence of God. And it's four square as an altar, but technically in measurement it wasn't four square, but in faith it was. Now, what you'll find is that four square is actually the measurements of the city called New Jerusalem. And even in the Old Testament, you might be surprised to find that they actually had the city four square, okay? So I'm reading from Ezekiel chapter 28. Let me go back to this. That's wrong. Okay, so we need to go to Ezekiel 48, and I believe we're starting with verse 29. It says, now this is the Old Testament, so this is what God was teaching the children of Israel for their sake, so they can understand the plan of redemption, and for our sake. See, a lot of times we think that we read about in Revelation, which we'll read, how the city was four square. But it was four square on the earth. Listen to this. This is the land which ye shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance. And these are the portions, saith the Lord God. These are the goings out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. And the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribe of Israel, three gates northward, one gate for Reuben, one gate for Judah, one gate for Levi. So it was 4,500 measures. That was the measurement, okay? And at the east side, 4,500 and three gates, and one gate for Joseph, one gate for Benjamin, and one gate for Dan. And at the south side, 4,500 measures, three gates, one gate for Simeon, one gate for Issachar, and one gate of Zebulun. And at the west side, 4,500 with their three gates, one gate of Gad, one gate of Asher, and one gate of Nephilim. I made a mistake. I was saying one gate for, it was one gate of. And notice what it says. It was round about 18,000 measures. Well, if you do 4,500 times 4, that's 18,000. And the names of the city from that shall be, and watch this, the Lord is there. I like that. The name of the city was, the Lord is there. So, my brothers and sisters, we think the name of the city is New Jerusalem, and that is the name, but it is also meaning the Lord is there. And so that's important, because a lot of people, when you think of a church, we forget that you're only a church because the Lord is there. I want to repeat that. You're only God's church if the Lord is there. I want to share something with you, my friend. This is from a book called Upward Look, okay? I'll try to find it. This was not in my notes, but I believe I'll be able to find it by the grace of God. Constitutes. Let's see. Let me look for it another way. I just want to show you this just so you can see. Okay, let's see if I can find it this way. It's worth waiting for, trust me. Let's see. Okay. I'm sorry about that. But there's Upward Look, page 131, and Upward Look, there's another page. And in those pages, it actually mentions that the presence of Christ alone constitutes a church. And it doesn't look like I'm able to find it within a reasonable period of time. I'll do one more. Yeah. I have one more way to look that I can see if it's not there. Okay, I believe I found it. All right. All right, so this is Upward Look, page 315. Remember, the four-square city had a name. The Lord is there. And this is what it says in Upward Look. God has a church. It is not the great cathedral, neither is it the national establishment, neither is it the various denominations. Now, I think God is speaking here from a heavenly perspective, not to say that God can't have a denominated church on earth with a name, with a conference, with whatever it might have. But it says God has a church. It's not the great cathedral. Neither is it the national establishment. Neither is it the various denominations. It is the people who love God and keep his commandments. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Where Christ is, even among the humble few, this is Christ's church. For the presence of the high and holy one who inhabited eternity can alone constitute a church. So, my brothers and sisters, sometimes the church is in a scattered situation because those who are faithful are not allowed to practice the religious freedom principles that God has given us. I just wanted you to see from Upward Look 315, the original name of the city in the Old Testament was the Lord is there. And that's what's most important, that we understand the Lord is there. But did you notice that the city was four square? The reason why this is important is this altar being four square, that means if you're in the tribe of Gad, if you're in the tribe of Benjamin, if you're in the tribe of Joseph, whatever tribe you're in, the city is for you. Prayer is for you. So God made that altar to match the altar of prayer, the altar of incense, to match the four square, that a measurement that would remind us that the city of God is for everybody, okay? All of us would fit in our personalities within one of those four tribes. I'm sorry, 12 tribes. And all of us, actually, because the city had foundations, would fit in the personality of one of those 12 apostles, okay? So that's what you get from Ezekiel 48. It shows you that it's four square. Now we're moving to the book of Revelation, and we're in Revelation chapter 21, okay? And in Revelation 21, let's see what we can find here. The Bible tells us in Revelation 21, starting with verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, just like you saw in Ezekiel 48. On the east, 3 gates, the north, 3 gates, the south, 3 gates, the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth four square. The length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. So that is a true four square. I wanted you to see it in the Bible. The length, breadth, and height would be equal. That's not so in the altar of incense, but it's still called four square because by the grace of God, we can have an audience with our maker. So it's so beautiful, but it shows us that it's taller than it was long and wide, meaning that God has to take us up into the presence of God, into heaven, my friend. So it's a symbolic measurement. It's called foursquare because we can be one with God, and yet it's not technically foursquare, but it's much higher than it is wider and longer, showing how lovely God was and merciful God was to bring us up. But notice, when we get to that city, because the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 22, let's just go there, Revelation chapter 22, and it says in verse 11, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. This is Jesus talking. And behold, I come quickly, he says, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So Jesus has declared that a decision will be made before he comes. And when he comes, he will reward us based on our choice. So that means that there is no moral change in our character at the second coming of Christ. That change must be taking place now, my brothers and sisters. We are locked, sealed in that state. Righteous will be righteous still. Holy will be holy still. Unjust will be unjust still. Filthy will be filthy still. So we have an opportunity on today, January 18th, to surrender our hearts to God, and he will lift us up into the throne room of heaven, my friends, through prayer. Prayer is so wonderful. Guess what? Watch this. You would never think that something so wonderful would be done away with. You would never think that something would be done away with that was so wonderful. But I'm here to tell you that prayer is not going to be forever. Notice this song, and I'm going to sing all of it, but notice the last verse. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wing shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his faith, believe his word and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Now notice the last verse, my friend. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share till from Mount Pisgah's lofty height I view my home and take my flight. Listen carefully. In my immortal flesh I'll rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. You know, we won't pray in heaven because face to face with Christ my Savior. So my friend's faith was a merciful provision from God because we can't see his face in our sinful state. Moses was not allowed to see the face of God because we're sinful as mortals, my friend. That means we could be perfect in character, but we still have a sinful body. And therefore, my friends, what do I mean by that? I mean, we are born in sin, shaping iniquity. This has to change. The Bible says this mortal shall put on immortality. So this human body that I am cannot handle the presence of God. No matter how holy I am, I have to be changed. And the Bible says I will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Amen. So the Bible teaches that when we die, we don't go straight to heaven. The change does not come until Jesus comes, friends. The dead are resting in the grave. And that's, therefore, dead people who didn't serve God, they're not being tortured in hell. God would be worse than Hitler. At least, even though Hitler tortured people, he had enough mercy to put them to death. They would die, and then they wouldn't feel anything anymore. But we have painted God. The Catholic Church did that, friends. And we have joined in suit as Protestants as a torturing God who tortures people forever in hell. It's not in the Bible. I can prove it to you. We don't have time to go there, but I'm here to tell you that God wants you to pray. You know, there's a song, I don't know the whole song, but it says, when you pray, you've got the key to the kingdom, and by faith, you can unlock the door. When you fall on your knees, he will hear your heart's plea. He's always near and will hear when you pray. So my brothers and sisters, the altar of incense, which was lit twice a day, morning, during the morning prayer and the evening prayer, is a symbol of prayer. And the incense rose up over the curtain and went into the most holy place, into the presence of God. It was four square, but technically not four square, because we're down here, and God wants us to understand through prayer we can be right there with him. So he made it higher in the sanctuary than it was longer than it was in length and in width. Yet the four square reminds us that all of us and have prayer, and he hears all of our prayers, because the city with the names of all the 12 tribes was, my brothers and sisters, four square. And that city was as high as it was long as it was wide. We have a great, great blessing ahead of us when our mortal body, friends, is, and we're through with this wicked world. Aren't you tired of sin? Friends, let's give our hearts totally to the Lord today. Ask God, say, Lord, I just want to give you my heart. I just want you to take control. I want you to show me where I'm wrong, and I want to repent and ask forgiveness of all the things that I've done to hurt you, for we crucify you afresh. Oh, Lord, please. That's how you need to pray, my friends. Talk to God like a friend. He will be there to hear you, won't you? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we now know that we in this prayer are taken much, much higher than we are in length and width up to the throne room of God. And so we thank you very much for this. We thank you for making it four square to remind us that as the 12 tribes were mentioned, you hear everybody's prayer unless we just choose to rebel against you. Help us, Lord. Be with us. Strengthen us and give us victory now in Jesus' name. All right, my brothers and sisters, it's time now for us to take a little intermission. We do so with the Torso Song. And after the Torso Song, we will be back with you to have cancer, why me, from Sister Lenny. Amen, amen. All right, friends, it's time now for our intermission.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are his natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. So when you indulge and you run from the scale, the battle of the bulge will be your tattle tale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. Praise God. All right, give me just a second, my brothers and sisters. All righty. All right, we will hear now from Sister Lenny as she presents Cancer, Why Me?
Good morning. Happy Wednesday. Cancer, why me? I want to share some items with you that will help with cancer and prevent cancer. There are many foods that help prevent cancer. Next to lots of fruits and vegetables, add some tarragon tea to your diet as a cancer fighter. Drink a few cups a day. Tarragon tea is rich in caffeic acid, an organic compound that will help prevent cancer and found in most plants. Broccoli sprouts. Broccoli sprouts contain a huge amount of anti-cancer chemicals, and they will detoxify your system. Try going low-fat. Eating a low-fat, healthful meal will lower cancer risk. Try combining organic soy foods with turmeric, which have been known to lower rates of colon, breast, and prostate cancer. It also prevents cellular damage. Don't forget that calcium. Calcium, you have to make sure it's organic, non-GMO, vegan, and plant-based. Calcium will reduce the development of substances in the colon. You know, I just shared with you just a small amount of things that can help prevent cancer, but these items also help if you already have cancer. I used to say, I have cancer? Me? Why me? Why do I have cancer? Why did I have to get cancer? But I thought to myself one day, why not me? I was under a lot of stress. I wasn't eating properly, if I ate at all. Not taking in water like I should have been. I was going to bed late at night, not getting proper rest. I was full of anger and sick and full of inflammation all through my body. Something had to happen. I know a lot of people have problems with suey. I wasn't one of them. It helped me tremendously. Just make sure you purchase organic, plant-based, non-GMO suey products. I've used all of these items myself, and I know that they work. When I went away to that wonderful place called Country Life Ministries in Frederick, Maryland, they turned my life upside down and introduced me to food, drinks, and juices and herbs into my body that I had never heard of. Hmm. I did everything I was instructed to do. I remember my mother taking me to a hospital because I was in so much pain. And they have on my records, patient refused chemo radiation. Well, why would I want radiation? It causes cancer. So my mother speaks up and she says, well, you know, don't you have a diet or something, you know, that she can use, you know, that she can go by? My mother was a nurse, so she knew something about nutrition. And so they said, no, I remember the doctor throwing his hand up. No, no, she can eat whatever she wants. She can eat a regular diet. Let me tell you something. You cannot be on a regular diet. You cannot eat what you want. If you're trying to prevent cancer and, you know, get rid of cancer, you can't do that. It will not, that diet will not heal you, I'm telling you. It won't. You have to change your diet. No meat eating, no dairy. I don't suggest anybody just snatching themselves off of sugar like I did because it just may be like a person on cocaine. So you shouldn't do that. But you do have to make a change. You cannot stay on a meat-eating diet, dairy diet, just caffeine. You can't do those things because it's not going to help you to get better. I am a living witness of it. May you be blessed to have better health. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Amen. God bless. God bless. God bless. All right, friends. God is good. Roll call. I know that we have Virginia on the line. We have Indiana on the line. We have North Carolina. I'm saying on the line on Facebook. This is Facebook right now. We have, thank God, all the way from Greece. I'm not sure where my sister D is from. Maybe she can type in what state. And then we have a brother from Alabama, I believe it is. Thank you all for joining us. On the call, we have Ohio, we have Alabama, we have Maryland, we have Delaware and Delaware again, we have Ohio again, we have South Carolina, we have Georgia, and we are your servants here in Pennsylvania. So that's roll call. This is the time in our broadcast where we can hear from you and those on the call. You press star 6. Those on Facebook, type any comments in the comment section, and we'll be able to engage with you. We do have a caller from Ohio. Good morning. God bless you.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Pastor, and good morning to everyone on the line. I actually have a question for Sister Lenny. She mentioned either a brand mark or a system of foods that was called Sui, where she said most people couldn't handle it, but she could. And I'd like her to expound on that, please. Thank you for taking my call, and have a blessed day, everyone.
Thank you. I've unmuted you, Sister Lenny. You should be able to answer that.
You're talking about the what did she say about Sui?
Let's see if she's still on. Go ahead and repeat your question, sis, please.
Well, I heard her mention, she said something about Sui or something. Maybe I misunderstood her because your voice, Sister Lenny, is very soft. But it sounded like she said Sui. She said most people can't handle it, but I could. As either, like I said, it was a brand of food or a system or something that you suggested that they consume if they're trying to get rid of cancer.
Yes. Sui products, a lot of people have talked bad about Sui. But a person who used Sui and it was very beneficial to me, I know that it can't be true. Maybe some people are allergic and some people aren't. But I do know, like tofu, you have to get organic, non-GMO, vegan, plant-based. And that's with the Sui milk as well. So everything, if you're going to do Sui, it's got to be organic.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Sister Lenny, you might want to stay on just in case anyone else has a question for you. All right. Let's see here. Anyone else in the queue, just press star 6. And if anyone on Facebook has a comment or question, just go ahead and type it. All right, we do have another call from Delaware. Good morning, sister.
Good morning. Good morning. I just wanted to say good morning. When you were talking about the shitting word, it makes sense because God talks about us in the sense of trees. Symbolically in the Bible, and even use the tree with Nebuchadnezzar, and like, so it's him covering humanity. But I had a question, like, for those that don't study prophecy or know, how would they know that the four square or any or that if we never study prophecy, how would they even know the different things you're saying, you know what I mean, to recognize that? Oh, is it even important? I'm not saying it's not important, but do you get, I mean, for those that's never studied prophecy or understand it?
Well, your question, from what I'm understanding, is for those who have never studied prophecy, how would they understand that four square or the significance of four square? Is that your question, if they didn't understand prophecy? They didn't understand the Bible?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So the bottom line, that's why we study the Bible. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. My wife and I read a devotional thought from a devotional entitled From the Heart. And yesterday, the one, you know, dated for yesterday, it actually talked about how, you know, It just talked about how God's word is like a love letter. It is a letter for us. So I don't know how a person would know the significance of four square if they didn't read it in the Bible, because that's just where God teaches it. Three gates were in the north for three tribes, in the south for three tribes, in the east for three tribes, in the west for three tribes. And that constitutes all of God's people. That's not talking about Jews. A lot of people, unfortunately, have been deceived by the smokescreen of thinking that God is going to bless literal Jerusalem. The Bible doesn't teach that, friends. Anyone who has rejected Christ, they will not be honored. They killed him. Okay? Now, the beauty of it, Romans 11 says, they can be grafted in again. So a person who is of Jewish descent or in the Jewish church faith can become a Christian. They can be grafted in, but they killed Christ. So the point I'm making simply is that a lot of people think that that four square and those names represent the actual tribes of Israel. No, that is all God's people. That's why Paul said we are all Israel. He told the Gentiles they were part of Israel. They were part of the tree grafted in. So the answer is you won't know unless you study the Bible. And that's not so much prophecy, although it is prophecy. In other words, prophecy is a foretelling of the future. But at the same time, if a person just read it, even in the Old Testament and New Testament, the city was four square. And even if you didn't understand Jesus coming and all that kind of stuff and the mark of the beast, the city was four square, and every side had three tribes. So that's my answer for that. I don't know if you had another question, though.
No, I was just thinking, you know, sometimes people give their lives to God at the last minute or what have you. There have been different examples, and people that did not know it wasn't the truth. That's what I was concerned, you know, thinking.
I mean, that's a beautiful thought, but here's the answer to that. A person, let's just say that there are, we think we have discovered every square inch of this country and all the different peoples. But, you know, you've seen these TV shows where they discovered a tribe deep in the Amazon that they didn't know existed. And they sent some missionaries and, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so a person who chooses, who maybe their ancestors were cannibals and they would kill and eat people, but the Spirit of God would come upon them. They don't even know God's name, but they just say, I don't want to eat people. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. So God takes the impulses that they respond to. If they're positive impulses, they may never know the name of Jesus, but those people who just decided to listen to that voice of the Spirit, and they might be from a cannibalistic tribe, but they choose not to do that. They choose to serve God. They choose to listen to that inner voice. You see, they're going to learn his name when he comes. They're going to learn about the Ten Commandments when he comes. They're going to learn that they were supposed to wear clothes and not be naked when he comes. You see, God takes what they were. He understands our situation, and he judges us based on what we had access to, not what we actually always accomplished, but what we had access to. Everybody doesn't have access to a Bible, okay? You might not be able to eat vegan inside a prison, okay? You don't need to eat pork inside a prison, and you can function without meat inside a prison. But the point being made is that unless God tells you to fast, you know, I've seen what they serve, my brothers and sisters, and, you know, it might be that you might not be able to be vegan in jail. So that being said, I'm not saying you can, I'm not saying you can't. I'm simply saying God judges us based on what we have access to. And so some people may not have access to all the truth. People don't know about the Holy Sabbath. People don't know about the state of the dead. Many will be saved, and they will find out when they wake up on resurrection morning. And they imagine a person who died, they didn't know about the truth, but they lived up to all the life they had. Imagine them on their deathbed and their family saying, Mommy, you're about to, or Daddy, you're about to go see Jesus, and he's just resting in that thought that he's about to see Jesus. Well, he's going to wake up in the resurrection, and he's going to look at his body and feel his body, and he sees that he's around the grave and that his grave was opened up and the casket burst open and there was an earthquake and he's now in a glorified body and he's going to say, wait a minute, I didn't see Jesus. He's up there. And he starts rising up to see him. See, so he's going to learn that error that he conscientiously lived up to because he thought it was the truth, he's going to be blessed when he wakes up on resurrection morning. So there will be much to learn when we get to heaven. We will still be learning new things. So you don't have to worry about somebody being lost because they didn't know all the science of prayer or they didn't know prayer was for everybody. God gives access to truth to different people in different ways, on different levels, in different times, and he's going to save everybody who responds.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
God bless you. God bless you. Beautiful question. Beautiful question. All right, my friends, there is no one else in the queue, and it is about 7 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm going to turn the program over to my wife to close us out at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this time of fellowship and worship, and we thank you for your word, and may we continue to seek your Holy Spirit on teaching us these things, giving us understanding where we can have knowledge and wisdom as we grow close to you. We ask that you would bless every heart in a special way as we continue throughout this day. And as we work, Lord, may we remember to pause throughout the day asking for your guidance, your direction, your instruction. Help us to be successful in our efforts so that we can bring glory unto your holy name. We ask that you would bless everyone with spiritual, mental, and physical healings. And please, Lord, all of us are going through times where we need to hear from you. We need to know where we are in our spiritual walk with you. Help us, Lord, with our problems that we're going through. Help us where we're in need of finances. We ask that you would bless those efforts. You have promised that you would take care of all of our need. We ask, Lord, that as we keep our personal petitions before you, that you will work everything out in accordance with your perfect will. We know there are some of us that are going through some very tough challenges and trials right now where we feel like we have personally been attacked spiritually. And we know that we are. We're told that we would be. And we shouldn't be surprised by these things, but let us rely on your strength, Lord, the everlasting strength of the Lord Jehovah. Let us, Lord, remember your promise that you will keep us in perfect peace, but we do have to have that willing mind to be able to accept your truth and to learn to depend and to trust fully in you and the power of God. For there is wisdom in the power of God. There is strength in the power of God. There is joy in the power of God. There is victory. Help us to do all we can to stay faithful, to remember these things and to claim them as we look forward to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
And before we go, I would like to share our greeting, wonderful greeting from Thank God from Greece. He says, greetings from Athens, Greece. Thank you, Pastor and Sister Maria. I am blessed with this program. We're blessed to have you, my brother. I would say he's the one in the furthest distance from us at this time listening, as far as we know. God bless you. It's time for our closing song at this time.
I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord, I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will work. worship the Lord.